Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Well, we are in a series, and I've got to show a little clip here, because this is a clip of one of my favorite movies, and it's a little bit ornery, so I apologize for that, but the clip's not, so it's still G-rated stuff. Would you play this little clip here, and some of you, when you see this, you'll kind of identify with where we're going here.
Randy, don't play with your food, eat it. Starving people would be happy to have that.
Guys, want the cabbage?
Watch the bottom.
You stop playing with your food. I'll give you something to fill that mouth.
You better stop fooling around with that heater, you swear.
Watch the bottom.
Oh, happy session.
My mother had not had a hot meal for herself in 15 years.
Meatloaf,
sweet loaf,
double
meatloaf.
I hate
meatloaf. All right, I can eat. Where's my screwdriver? I promise I'll open up his mouth and I'll shove it in.
Yeah! How many of you watched that movie at Christmas time? The Christmas Story. Here's why I laugh. That's so real in terms of the mom getting ready. Every time she gets about I see that in my house all the time. The kids will get in and Renita sits there and I always kind of laugh. And every time that plays out in our house, I kind of throw that narrative. My mom hadn't had a warm supper in 15 years. How many of you have that same thing going on in your house sometimes? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, moms, I'm going to ask you. How many of your moms, you feel like you got that rolling at your house? Far more hands went up. Absolutely. Well, what's interesting is that little clip is a really good setup for our next feast. We've been in this series going through the feast of Jesus, and I don't have my salt shaker or else I would test it here today. Never sit down without testing the salt shaker or you'll kind of pour it all over yourself. But this next feast of Jesus, if you haven't been with us, please go online. You really want to catch up on those first couple of messages. But let's look at Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42. And it's really kind of like this whole setup here. We're going to see how Martha kind of relates to the mom there in the service. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Alright. I gotta be honest with you. Most of the time when I have read this text, I really it's bothered me. This text has bothered me because I am a worker. Okay? The deal is I identify probably more with Martha than Mary. Anybody else? You kind of like that? And it's us. And I know, probably First Christian Church of Pittsfield, you are a working church. I mean, there's so many workers in this church, from getting Crossroads to the things that we do to, helping some of the community and meals and service. We're really serving the church, and that's admirable, and that's a great thing. And I think in a lot of ways it's a Christ-like thing. And so when we read this text, we're kind of like, man, Martha gets a bum rap here. Because, if you're like me, you said, well, it takes an awful lot of Marthas to keep the church running, right? How many of you thought that? Because we need Martha's. You know, it's a Martha thing to say. Well, if we didn't have Martha's, who's going to clean the toilets? And who's going to open the things? And who's going to do all the work? The Marys? No. Mary's just sitting there. They're just sitting around, and the Marthas are doing all the work. And how many of you get irritated when all of the stuff is left for you to do? Everyone else is having fun, and you're stuck doing the dirty work. Anybody? That's me. I got to admit. And so what you do then is you go ahead and do it, but you do it passive-aggressively. Any passive-aggressives? Can I help? No, I've got it. Is there something wrong? No! And you get over the top passive-aggressively how you do things. You know, or you get kind of quiet, and in essence, we're really being Martha, because it's not in the text there, but I think Martha had a little bit of this going on. So we develop sayings like this. Well, okay, yes, you need the Marthas, but you need the Marys, but you also need the Marthas in a church. And, you know, that's good. And if you're like me, you read this text and you read into it, Mary's kind of lazy. You know, if you're going through that, if you want to be honest, you think the Marys around, you get kind of irritated because, hey, everybody needs to pick up the chairs. We shouldn't just have a few people doing all the work. That's not good. You know, so what I've come to understand as I spent some time really marinating, if that's a spiritual word, and I really do, I feel like I tried to marinate, allow myself to soak in this text the past 3 or 4 weeks and try to see it from a different perspective, and I believe that I've grown, and I'd like to kind of share some of those things with you all. First of all, this is not about Mary being lazy, because we're going to see that actually Mary is not lazy. We're going to see this a little bit later. And it's not that serving is bad in and of itself. Jesus himself stated that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And so if we look at Jesus served all the time. I mean, there's this dinner that he was, you know, kind of the guest of honor. And instead of being the guest of honor, he girds himself with a towel. And he goes and he washes his disciples' feet. You know, it's kind of gross. Any feet people here? Yeah, that's kind of gross. And yet, Jesus is doing the ultimate of service. So it's not that service is wrong. And some people act like, okay, you know, service is bad or whatever. I think we're missing the point. To understand this text to another level, and what I hope to share with all of you today, if we want to understand it, we have to be honest that we have to allow our priorities to be challenged and our innate bias. And I'm speaking specifically to myself and to the other workers in the room today. If you're a worker in the room today, this message is for you. Okay? You have to allow that bias to be confronted. So, point one, and I'm going to go right into our points today. Point one is this. Prioritize time with Jesus. Okay? God really wants to have a connection with you. And the truth is that you can be distracted from your relationship with Jesus by your service of Jesus. I need to tell you that. Because it happens all the time. It's a constant thing that happens. I see it happen all the way from our young people, all the way on up, through a lot of our seniors. What happens is we somehow think that serving Jesus equals relationship with Jesus. And I got to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. And Jesus, I believe, in this scenario, is putting a spotlight on this fact. Your service of Jesus can't, if I say can't, replace your relationship with Jesus. And the problem is, for a lot of us, it's easy to slip into that mode. And so I think the Holy Spirit is calling us this wonderful, glorious Celebration Sunday, calling us back to look and examine ourselves. Is serving bad? No. Serving is great. Serve all the time. But serving instead of relating is tragic. Busyness for God and busyness for church does not equal relationship. We see it in the church all the time. It happens all the time. How do we know? What are some of the signs that we replace relationship with service? Well, first of all, one of the signs is we begin finding fault. We realize that the things that we're doing, those are the important things. Well, you know what? If we don't clean the front doors, that's important. Yes, the front doors need to be clean. But sometimes we begin to find fault with everyone else's stuff, and we become critical, and the spirit of what we're doing somehow shifts. We get irritable all the time. We're only valuing or prioritizing our activities and our preferences. It happens. We begin to see a manipulation that goes on. I mean, think about what it says in verse 40 and 41. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I'm serious. You're asking Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? And we do that all the time. Jesus, don't you care? Well, yeah, Jesus cares. Jesus, the whole reason he's here is because he cares, right? And so we miss the forest through the trees. We start losing it with all little things. We start to get kind of being like a prickly pear. And then we start manipulating. I love this. Our temperament goes. We start blowing up at things. And look at what Jesus says in verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Now, why would Jesus say that you're anxious and troubled unless you were anxious? Why was she anxious and troubled? Because her service, and this is my belief, her service was impinging upon her relating with Jesus. She was valuing, I got to do stuff. And I feel like I'm, in some way, shooting myself on the foot because we got to serve, right? And somebody, Pastor, if you preach this message, no one's going to serve anymore. No. That's not the case. The case is serve with the right foundation. Amen? I know, it's not real popular. And he uses this word, you are anxious and you are troubled. And this word troubled in the Greek means distracted. I find it interesting that we can find time to do things for Christ. But sometimes, you've heard me say this a lot, God only gets the relating part, he only gets the leftovers. You know, wake up in the morning. Oh, I'm already behind schedule. You know what? My time with God, I'll fit it in somewhere, but I got some priorities. I need to get this done. I need to get my kids dressed. Well, yeah, you need to get your kids dressed. You need to get all those things. You need to have those things happen. But it should be a red flag when you're relating. If I say relating, my relating time with God Almighty is only left over when I can fit it in, when there's a sense of convenience, and it's never the prime time. You see, Mary is giving Jesus some prime time, and it's kind of problematic here. Let's go on here. Because Jesus is really pushing this point home. And I'm going to kind of shift gears and go to the Gospel of Matthew. And I hope you see this in a different light here. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. Jesus says this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their what? And he goes on, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good what? Now, he didn't say anything about their actions, did he? You can have good actions and you can do good deeds and have bad fruit. I know people, I've seen it, and I have had times in my life where I've done good deeds and had bad fruit. What are you calling fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, faith. Well, I can stop right there. Joy, I can put on a good show, but inwardly, I'm ticked. Glad to see you. Come on. How many of you, trick-or-treats like right, or Halloween's right around the corner. How many of you, put on a mask for Halloween, right? How many of you have ever put on a mask to come to church? Pastor. We take back our dad. Undead. That would be a bat. D-A-B-B-A-B. Because of bat. Every tree, that's a Michael Jackson reference, I take it back. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by the fruits. Now, here's the one that scares us, because I really believe that this is the same thing that he's getting at with Mary and Martha. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew. Now, in other words, this is a scary supposition, that you can do things for Jesus without knowing him. You can do not just good works, you can do many works, you can do many, what did it say here, mighty works. You can prophesy, you can do all these things, you can cast out demons. So it's not about the do, it's about the know. Have I got your attention? This is important. You know, this is important for us to turn the corner as a church and go to the next level. Because I really need us to get this point as we move forward. I think it's critical for us. It's not just me who thinks this. Cindy McCauley said this, busyness can be a way to avoid God, the meaning of life, and life itself. I love that quote. And how many of you feel like life is busier now than maybe it's ever been? Anybody ever get that feeling? Because I sure do. I think my life is busier now than it's ever been. So seriously, if you feel that, I want to see, because I've got to turn this light on. Okay, so that's probably half of us feel that life is busier now than it's ever been. And, you know, this is something that we have to be warned. If we're too busy to develop relationship with Jesus on this side, church, my people whom I love and people who I want to lay my life down for you all, if you're too busy now to develop a relationship with Christ before your last breath comes, what are we doing? What are we doing? He goes on here. I love this quote. This is a statistic. The average work week, and this is a recent statistic, 2016, from the Bureau of Statistics, it says the average work week now is up to 47 hours. That's four more hours a week than 2 decades ago, 20 years ago. And the Gallup poll just recently found that 44% of Americans call themselves workaholics. And I've got to say, I probably identify with that a little bit. I feel like I am. As a result of downsizing, mergers, decreased revenues, they've all created workplaces with fewer workers and increased workloads. I talked to some of my friends who work in the Department of Corrections, and there's been so much downsizing, and they're being forced to do. I talked to some other law enforcement people who are like, we're looking around, we got more work than we can possibly do. I talked to people all around who are like, we just have more work, more work, more work. Anybody feel that? So it's an epidemic, and perhaps it's one of the signs of the time in which we live. How can we navigate this? Because what I'm convinced is the first thing that goes, and man, this is me I'm talking about, the first thing that gets challenged, because we know that God is gracious, oh, God will understand, I just don't have time for you today. What's that saying? What are we doing with our kids? Because honestly, we're recreating that in a staggering multiple in our children's lives. And we say, oh yeah, because we don't want them to fall behind, and we want our kids to not fall behind, but they need to be involved in everything. If they're not involved, someone's going to get ahead of them, and someone may take their place, and someone, so we got this competitive mentality, and we're running a race, but what is the race really about? Am I speaking to anybody here today? And I don't know exactly what the answer is. You know, but I do. I think it's tied in to this text that we're dealing with today. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that 60% of marriages are now dual career, and not surprisingly, a lack of time is cited in one study as the biggest challenge to their marriages. Anybody know Oswald Chambers? Yeah, my utmost respect. Listen to what Oswald Chambers said about this. Beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ, the greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus. Listen to what Oswald Chambers says. The greatest competitor to devotion to Jesus is service for Him. The one aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God, not the calling to do something for Him. Thomas Kelly observed this, that too many well-intentioned people are so preoccupied with the clatter of effort to do something for God, they don't hear Him asking that He might do something through them. Point two. So point one is this, we need to prioritize time with Jesus. Point two is simply this, the world doesn't do it. The world does not prioritize time with Jesus. In fact, it will always, if you prioritize conflict, if you do, conflict will come. Luke 10:40. My sister has left me alone to serve alone. Tell her again to help me. What this translates is this, when you decide I'm going to prioritize Christ, trouble will come. Has anybody ever felt it? You're too heavenly minded to do any earthly good. Alright, I understand that, and I do, because that Mary Martha part of me, again, I relate, and I'm sad to say, I relate much more to Martha. Give me a punch list, and I'm all about it. I love to fix toilets and climb up and fix the roof and do those things. I don't know why, but I like to work. And what's sad is when I work, and I think that somehow my working, or my overworking, makes me closer to God, and that's not true. Makes me closer to God is my relationship with Him. Now the great thing is when I do hit those times where I'm working and I'm laboring and He's right there in it, and I can tell because the fruit of the Spirit just starts pouring out. Mary has made a priority choice and it went against her sister's opinion. And like I said, the world doesn't prioritize Jesus, so when you do, there's trouble. Others are not going to understand when you prioritize Jesus. Don't expect them to. Don't expect them to. Love them. Don't judge them. And better yet, share Christ with them. Let them know why you're doing it. Let them know when it's a priority that this is not judgment on them. This is you loving God. And I can't sugarcoat it, church. It's costly. Everybody say costly. You know what? Not all are going to be willing to pay the price. That's the truth. Mark chapter 14, 3-9. Look at how Mary is willing to pay the price. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he was reclining at a table, and a woman came, this is Mary, we find out, with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard. Which is like, I know it doesn't sound good smelling. What are you wearing? Nard. It's new fragrance from Calvin Klein. Nard. That was gross, I'm sorry. It's not only nard, she broke the flask of nard and she poured it over his head. And they said, nard. So, actually, this is spiked nard, is where it comes from. And there were some who said like this. Okay, here's what Mary's doing. You know, this is one of my fondest memories. Julie Bourne, we did a thing a few years ago where she did this beautiful monologue of Mary and was reflecting on all the stuff. And the gist of it was this was so important that she couldn't find anything else. I love that memory here at the church. And that's a powerful time because Mary gave something. If we go on and read, it was worth a year's wages. Think about your highest earning year of your life and your family. Would you be willing to take a full year's wages, about 300 days wages, which is about a year's worth of our wages in our modern time? Would you be willing to just pour out an entire year's worth of salary on some foo-foo juice? How much is this bottle of cologne? $65,000. Oh, cool. One dose! Mary was doing something, and it made everyone mad. In fact, they told Jesus, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a beautiful thing. For you always have the poor with you. Whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. What he's saying here is Mary made a priority. Now, if you're saying, well, good, I just want to be like Mary every day and never lift a finger, you missed the point of the message. The point of the message is not to serve. The point of the message is don't hide in your service when it's time to relate. When you I'm convinced this. The people who I know who really have the relationship part are the best servers, and they're the most dedicated servers because they got the right foundation. Point three is this. So I've kind of laid both sides. We're called to prioritize God. The world doesn't prioritize God. Final point. Everybody say amen. You hurt my feelings. Only one thing is necessary. I feel like a city slickers. Only one thing is necessary. Luke chapter 10, 42. But only one church. I guess if I could like paint a picture in your mind, this would be the picture. Jesus is coming to you. And he's saying this word, this sentence to everybody here today. And by the way, thank you for coming today. Thank you for coming today. But here's the message that I believe. If you can just in your mind's eye, you're sitting across the table with Christ. Having a cup of coffee. Maybe you're at Free Press. Maybe you're up at the Red Dome. You're just sitting, just you and him. It's not busy. There's no distraction. You're just sitting down. Maybe you're at that place, Dinks and Morton, or you're down there at that little place in Atlas. And you're just, it's quite an off hour, so there's not a pub up. You're just sitting there across the table with God Almighty. I believe this morning, what he wants to tell you is this. Only one thing is important. Only one thing is important. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. So brothers and sisters, is your foundation service or is your foundation relationship? And the question then is what is distracting us from sitting down with him? Why have I taken these past several sermons and tried to be seated? Because I think that that's what God's calling us to do. I tried to tell Chaz this morning, and I was trying to communicate what I wanted on the slide. I was like, it's like this. I think that God wants to just have a quiet meal with every person in this room. And some of you, that would be a great thing. Just have a quiet meal at all. And so that's kind of your homework. It's time for a quiet meal with your Heavenly Father. Remember how I began this series that my mom, when things got really tragic because of alcoholism and because of fighting in the house and things would get chaotic, mom would pull me out. She'd say, I got to get my son out of this chaos and I got to get my son out of this mess because it's messing him up. And so I'm going to take him to the Woolworth's Diner. Woo, big spender, mom. And we would sit there in an off hour. She'd dry her tears, and we'd sit in that little bar at the Woolworths. I'd have a BLT, and she'd have a toasted grilled cheese sandwich with a cup of chili. And we'd just talk. And me as a 7-year-old little kid, didn't know what to talk about, but we would just talk. You know what? I only have a handful of memories with my mom, and that's a good one. I believe God wants to have that. Now that sounds good. Who don't we want to eat with God? I'm going to sit across the table. Whatever that means to you, if that means taking an intentional walk, that's my challenge. This week, here's my challenge. Have dinner with Jesus. Well, Pastor, you're really weird. I know I am. However, whatever that means to you, if that means just you and him taking a walk, if it means you in an off hour going someplace and sitting down, having a cup of coffee, having whatever it is that you need, whatever you need that you can have your time with God, I challenge, I throw down the gauntlet and I challenge every person in this room. I believe I've heard from heaven and I'm communicating to you that God is saying only one thing is necessary. It's time for a quiet meal with your Father in heaven. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.